Hello, friends. Welcome to the DDP for the 15th day of March. I'm your host, Paul White. Today, we go back to the sermon titled Distracted and Troubled. I'm airing this because it's a recent message we did that deals with the passage we are at in our journey through the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. We probably won't finish it, but it is available wherever you're listening to your podcast, or if you like video, you can get it at paulwhiteministries.com or at our YouTube channel, PWM. So here we go. Part three, distracted and troubled.
And he doesn't put his arm around her and go, it'll be okay. Because saying it'll be okay almost always sounds like the thing to say to someone who's going through it. But saying it'll be okay is not the same thing as it being okay. And saying it'll be okay is sometimes like saying to someone who's depressed, just get over it. You know, like, why don't you just shake it off? Just get over it. You go, this doesn't work this way. There's a lot of stuff there's been so much stuff dragged to me that I'm now in chaos. There's an explosion that's happened inside. Everything has come together, crisscrossed. And the whole world now is going to, needs pressed out because it's all exploding inside. And so Jesus uses a word that's way bigger than just troubled. Okay, for instance, remember John 14. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's not the same Greek word. Because the Greek word that Jesus uses for troubled in John 14 is your mind is uneasy. It's what it sounds like. I'm a little troubled. Boat's rocking a little bit. Things don't feel quite right. It's almost, compared to this troubled, it's gentle. It's like yeah, I'm not sure about this. That's the word Jesus uses when he says, don't let your heart be troubled. In other words, don't let your heart worry too much about what's about to happen. I'm going away to prepare a place, but I'm going to come again. I'm not going to leave you orphans. This is the cross to the resurrection, okay? He doesn't bother to say, don't let your heart go into a riot. It's not going to be time to go into a riot. It's not going to be time to go into chaos. The riot is a buildup. They don't just happen like that. There's a swell that happens in a riot. There's a lot of things go into it. And then there's an explosion. So Jesus is acknowledging two different kinds of troubled to his disciples in John 14. Don't get too uneasy about this. It's going to be okay. I'm going to build you a place. I'm going to come get you. There's room in Daddy's heart. In my Father's house are many mansions. But to Martha, we're way past, hey, don't let this bother you. We're all the way down to, there's an explosion happened in your soul, Martha. There's a riot going on. He doesn't condemn Martha for asking him if he cares. Martha goes, don't you care? He doesn't say, how dare you ask me if I care? I'm the Son of God. Of course I care. He doesn't do that because he knows what's happening in Martha. There's an explosion in her. And whenever we get dragged, we take it out on the people we love. Martha takes it out on Mary. Martha takes it out on Jesus. We take it out on the people we love because they're the closest to us. And so we go after them first. We always hurt. What's the old song? We always hurt the ones we love, the ones we shouldn't hurt at all. Usually starts there. It's not the only people we hurt, but it's the ones we start with. And we ask the irrational, don't you care? We ask Jesus if he cares. Of course Jesus cares. This is another example to me of why you should just pray to God whatever it is you're thinking. At least you owe that truth to God. It's whatever it is you're thinking. So just give God the truth. You can say to God, don't you care that I'm being dragged through the mud right here? Don't you care that my life is in a riot right now and it's chaotic? He's not going to condemn you for asking. He doesn't condemn Martha. He doesn't give her the answer we think he should. Oh, Martha, it's going to be okay. And pat her on the back. Because it's going to be okay, again, is kind of like get over it. Like, you'll get over it eventually. Instead, he does give her the formula. It's time to go look for the most needful thing in your life. There's a lot of things in your life that you need. But it is time to find the most needful thing in your life. To isolate whatever it is that is the absolute most needful thing. So look at 42. This is Jesus speaking to close the chapter. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. I like this. Ancient texts read this as, hey, Martha, few things are necessary. I wish we'd have kept that. I don't know where along the way the Greek, that was our oldest Greek manuscript, reads right here. Few things are necessary and Mary has chosen it. In other words, Martha, do inventory in your life and find out what isn't necessary. Because the truth is that a lot of what's dragging me down isn't necessary. Okay, there's some things I could let go of that maybe they're not necessary, or maybe they're not necessary for me to pay so much attention to them. Learning to parse the difference is absolutely crucial. It, in fact, is our responsibility to determine what is necessary in the moment. I want to get to that in a second. This story may exemplify modernity more than any other in the Gospels. So let me land on those two things. It's our responsibility to determine what's necessary in the moment, meaning that sometimes you got to cook the meal, and sometimes you got to clean the kitchen, and sometimes you got to prepare the house. But sometimes Jesus is in your living room. That's the difference. You know, sometimes it's a special moment. I don't think he's asking for me 24/7, but I do know that he's asking for me a little bit. I can hear it in my spirit. I don't believe that he's asking for me to have all day long prayer sessions with him. But I do hear his voice sometimes going, hey, I'm here. Let's talk. And that's quiet time or contemplative prayer or meditation or going through the Psalter and reading a psalm, trying to find one that sounds like where I am, or praying a prayer that the ancients have prayed for centuries because somebody in a better spot than I am right now thought it through and prayed something that makes more sense than any of the stuff I'm garbling out. And sometimes garbling one out, just saying what I think and telling God how mad I am, that's just right too, because that's the moment that I need to be absolutely honest and tell him how confused I am. I'm not asking for that all day long, but he is asking for that. So it's up to me to take responsibility for my life and learn what I don't need to be dragged into. And that means that sometimes I have to say no to a request, or sometimes I have to turn my eyes from the things I'm feeding on, or that I'm reading, or that I'm watching, or that I'm listening to, or the people I'm with, or the stuff I got my hands involved in. I'm just using examples. Because the truth is that we're all being, and some, you can't stop some of it, but we take the responsibility for what's important when it's important. And learning to lay aside. I think it's why Hebrews says, lay aside the weights and the sin that doth so easily beset you. Lay aside the weights, because some things are just weights. And some things are sin. Some things are you just missing the mark. Lay them aside. Let your hands off of them. Let go of them. Don't possess them. Take responsibility for what's necessary in the moment. Not everything necessary in the moment is necessary forever. And then finally, this story may exemplify modernity. What I mean is that I don't know that we have a better story in the Gospels for our own lives than being dragged about by stuff. We've got technology and we've got, we got technology more than we know what to do with. And we got so much of it to entertain us and to occupy us and to take us, you know, because we've got to email and we've got to text and we've got to Zoom and then we've got to be entertained and then we got to look at a spreadsheet and we've got to balance this and then we got to go to this online statement and we got this app we got to visit. That's just the digital stuff. That's just the stuff here and hanging on the wall. And that's the stuff that is fairly new to this generation. And so there's a whole new world of getting dragged into stuff that maybe wasn't there before. But there's been a lot of things across time, and maybe no story talks about us more than this one, because the more we're dragged, the more frustrated and infuriated we become. What's the antidote to that? It's not just get over it, and it's not, oh, it'll be okay. It's choose the most necessary thing. Choose the most necessary thing in that moment. It's not got to be the most necessary thing for every moment, but choose the necessary thing for that moment and learn to place into its category what belongs in its category so that it stays in its space and it doesn't dominate you, so that it doesn't get bigger than you, so that it doesn't own your moment, so that you choose the most necessary thing, the good part. And the good part is finding space to set at the feet of Jesus. And so I don't know what that looks like for every person, but I know that it's impossible to sit there and be in the kitchen. It's impossible to sit there and be distracted. That's the point of the story. So there are things we have to lay down to say, I need 5 minutes. I need 10 minutes. And if I'm speaking too much, that's okay. Start with 60 seconds. Maybe you literally don't feel like you have 5 minutes. Your life is that packed. Okay. It's time to start letting go of some stuff if 5 minutes is too much to find. But that's between you and the Lord. But find the space to take a deep breath and to spend some time with Him. Because as you sit at His feet, so more than any other spot in the Gospels, this maybe is us. It's us being distracted, being dragged through the mud into all the stuff. We're in an election year, and here it comes in America. The onslaught, as if it hasn't already started, the onslaught of opinion and commentary and news. I put that in quotes because I think a lot of what we're hearing is news isn't new. And we're being swamped with, what do you think of this? And we're forced to have an opinion and we've got to have an idea. And I don't know about you, but it doesn't take long deep into the year for me to feel like I've already been dragged through more than I want. You just go, there's a part of me that at some point just goes, I don't know if I even care. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to make that big of a difference, you know, which side we end up with. But I don't really feel that way. Because I don't want to go through life going, nothing matters. You know, I don't want to go through life going, who cares? Because that's the lazy man's way out of issues, is just to say, I don't care, you know, and then go about your business. Jesus doesn't say, don't care. It's not about not caring and throwing everything down and burning the world down because you're mad. But it's learning where to put things into its proper place and then spend time with Him.
Well, that seems like a pretty good place to stop. There's actually only a few more minutes left in that sermon. And so if you want to hear the ending of that, check it out. It's titled Distracted and Troubled, available wherever you're listening to this podcast. We've been doing this the last few days so that we would cover the passage at the end of Luke chapter 10. That means tomorrow we will open Luke 11 and we will tell you what sermon you can look for on our Sunday drop. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless.